everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John, engineering and producing our program on the other side of the glass. It is going to be a scorcher. Hottest temperature of the year. Some are saying, well, 112, maybe 113, but over 110, does it really matter? It is Monday, June the 26th, 2023. Our show, 12 and a half years now of the radio show. And then when you add in my work on TV, it's like this is year 35 in the Tucson market. We are broadcasting in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. They have the naming rights, and we're glad they do. And the radio station is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news and talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. All the podcasts are there, and pretty much every show we've done over the past 12 and a half years is very easy, convenient to access that on my website. When folks call in on our telephone line, the live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. If you do want to call the program, the live line number 790-2040. Time for our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family owned and run since 1985. Moe and the family, boy, I love these people. They specialize in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and if you don't want to put up the stuff on the wall that you've had framed, Moe will come out and make house calls, and he'll get up on the ladder. Let him do it, and he'll do a very professional job. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lill and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and now in that same little center they've opened up, and it was pretty busy. I went by there Saturday to see Moe. Monsoon Chocolate has now opened a store there by Moe. His website, moesgallery.com. This week's one-on-one features Robert Bloom of Casa Video in Tucson. Casa is celebrating their 40th anniversary this summer. I'm a huge fan of Casa, and I'm a huge fan of Robert Bloom because this guy has this encyclopedic knowledge of films, and I'm over at Casa a lot. I'm old school. I still rent movies. And Robert Bloom, good to see you, my friend. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And I'm not alone. There's a huge group of people that want to check out what you have to offer. And what you have to offer, my gosh, your inventory, what do you figure? How many films do you think you've got in the store?
Just about 50,000 titles.
50,000 titles. Okay, so maybe like 5-10 years ago, we all know there was a Blockbuster store on every corner. It is rare, isn't it, Robert Bloom, to have a video store like Casa in a community?
Yes, very rare. But, you know, with local help, fans from all over the city, we've been able to maintain for 40 years.
So what was the origin of Casa Video? How did the whole thing start?
It started with the owners, Ray and Gayla Mellenbrandt. Brother and sister. They were movie fans as they were younger. They opened the original Casa Video store on 1925 East Grant Road in July of 83.
Oh, so they were on. So the Speedway is not the original store.
No. They started when just about all the little mom and pop video stores were popping up in the 80s.
Yeah.
But what they were noticing was nobody had all the classics. Nobody had all the older good films. Everybody was getting the new releases, maybe a little horror films here, maybe a little comedies there.
Yeah, because even Blockbuster, the inventory was not deep. I mean, it was the current releases the past maybe 6 months, but there wasn't the historic inventory.
Exactly. So their goal was to get Oscar winners, to get the black and white 40s, 50s, 60s films. And the movie lovers and the movie buffs, they knew to go to Casa because they knew the film they were looking for would have been there. It grew pretty quick that by 1985, they moved into 2905 as a second location.
Mm-hmm.
2905 East Speedway.
And there are a lot of fans still. This might surprise people, but there are a lot of collectors in this community that have like thousands of VHS.
Mm-hmm.
And there's even some people in town, and maybe John remembers this, laser discs.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of kind of film hobbyists, which I would include myself in that category. I mean, I like the older stuff, and we're going to be talking over the next half hour. I asked you to put together your top 10 list, and then I've got my top 10 list. And the thing about these top 10 lists, they're so organic. I mean, mine changed when we first talked about doing this interview. I've probably changed this about 10 times, adding films. But while we kind of reflect on the Casa and the history, and I know you've got some events coming up, but let's talk a little bit about some of the films on our list. And this, what we've done is, these aren't necessarily, you don't put one of these films like this chronological order. It's just like, you know, this isn't your all-time favorite movie.
Exactly. Yeah. Like you said, it's organic. Like,
yeah.
2 weeks from now, it'll totally change.
I know.
5 years ago, the six of these films weren't on it.
What do you have? What? Let's get into a couple of them.
So, the Coen brothers, tons of great films from these gentlemen. My personal favorite is Inside Llewyn Davis from 2013.
Mm-hmm.
A snapshot of folk music just before it was about to explode. Oscar Isaac is amazing in it.
So we're talking, you say folk music just about to explode. That could be like 59, 1960,
exactly.
61.
It's still a niche. It's not selling a lot of records yet.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil the whole film.
Sure.
But it is.
I should see that because one of my first concerts, and you can't really call it a concert, it was so intimate. In Chicago, Robert, you and I both from the Chicago area.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Peter, Paul, and Mary in 1963 or 62 at a coffee house in Chicago.
That's how they all
and
got their start.
And we sat around on big cushions.
Mm, that's awesome.
Yeah. But anyway, so that's great. And then also you're a big Belushi fan.
Yes.
Coming from Chicago. You love the Blues Brothers.
It's on my list.
It's 1980. And I've got a Belushi movie on my list from 1981. The movie is called Continental Divide.
Really good film.
Yeah.
Subtle Belushi. He's mm-hmm. not going over the top. He's bringing it a little light. It's a surprise, but it's also very charming.
He plays a newspaper person in Chicago, as I recall, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, it's a love story. It's a good movie. I'll also throw another one out. This is a fairly current, nominated for a bunch of Academy Awards, 1917. Sam Mendes.
Mm-hmm. Sam Mendes.
Broke a lot of ground, this movie. It's basically... it's a World War One film, but it's about like a handheld camera. There's very little actual cuts in this movie.
There are a lot of long one-shot takes.
Long one-shot takes. Just a really amazing filmmaking. A lot of groundbreaking right there.
It felt like the director wanted to put you right in the middle of it.
Yep. So getting back to Casa Video, for the anniversary, what do you have planned this summer?
Well, all year long, we're celebrating the 80s because the 83.
Mm-hmm.
And
the 83 founding date.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. So for the month of July, for all our movie events, we usually do about 7 p.m., one every day.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be doing our 80s films. It's going to be picked by staff.
Mm-hmm.
And we also... just put on tap because we do have the Casa Film Bar.
Yeah, you guys now have a bar.
Yeah, we've had it for almost 9 years now.
It's very popular.
It is very popular. If the honest truth is, if it wasn't for the bar, the store probably would have had a lot of more rough times.
Uh-huh.
But with our friends at Barrio Brewery,
mm-hmm.
We were able to get this lovely golden ales. We call it obviously the Casa 40th anniversary beer. It's really sweet.
So you've got a lot of beer.
Yes, we do have a lot of beer. We're also doing just a cool off this summer. We're doing Christmas in July for 3 days. So we're going to 3 nights of Christmas films. We're going to pull out all the Christmas decorations. Staff is really excited. I say that.
Go ahead.
I say that in jest to be pulling out all the Christmas decorations again.
But I've got a Christmas movie on my list.
Yes, you do.
I've got The Bishop's Wife with David Niven. My all-time favorite Christmas movie. So maybe that movie will make your Christmas in July.
We'll obviously play it throughout the day.
All right. Take a break right here. It's One-on-One with Robert Bloom. We're talking movies, and could anything be more appropriate this week than to get in an air-conditioned room and watch a movie? Because you really don't want to be outside. The One-on-One interview with Robert Bloom of Casa Video, celebrating its 40th anniversary this summer, our One-on-One series presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. More Talk in the Movies right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for Marketplace Trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It is the Monday One-on-One presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. We're talking movies. Our one-on-one interview is with Robert Bloom of Casa Video in Tucson, celebrating its 40th anniversary this summer. Robert, you said the store originally was on Grant. Then they moved over the brother and sister team that mm-hmm. owned the store. They moved to Speedway, and that was where the big expansion happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mid-'80s or something?
In 85, they opened the second location on mm-hmm. 2905 East Speedway.
Uh-huh.
And it's slowly, as businesses from that, it was just like a small little mini mall kind mm-hmm. of area. As businesses left, they were taking portions of it. In 1999, they did close the Grant store and has been on 2905 ever since.
All right. We've been talking, we both put together kind of a top 10 movie list. Let's go back to your list. I was talking about the experience I had as a very small child. Well, not so small. Early teenager, let's put it that way, seeing Peter, Paul, and Mary in Chicago early on in 62. There's a movie on here about kind of the good old days of rock and roll. You like The Last Waltz, 1978.
Yeah, the Martin Scorsese film. It's the band's final concert.
Mm-hmm.
So many great guest stars. It is a glimpse of a time and era.
Oh, the band. And again, I saw the band backing up Bob Dylan at the Chicago Opera House.
Oh, wow. It
must have been mid-60s. So anyway.
Nobody was booing then.
Oh, my gosh. And The Last Waltz, it's a great movie. It's got Joni Mitchell appears in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the performers I wish I had seen live in person. But she is kind of making, she did a three-hour set up in Washington State recently after a brain aneurysm.
Mm-hmm.
She's recovered from that. It's just really amazing. You've also got a movie here called Rushmore, 1998.
That's a Wes Anderson film. That's his second one.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually the first one I saw. I'm still kind of charmed by it.
Mm-hmm.
You see all his tricks and gimmicks early. The acting is great. It's the first one where Bill Murray comes in there.
Wow.
And it kind of blew up his career at this point because, again, he was probably just known as a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
And he puts on a great dramatic role. There's some very funny moments, but it gave him a big boost in his career going forward.
A Face in the Crowd, 1957. A couple of months ago, you recommended this film to me, and I was just blown away by it. Tell us.
It's Elia Kazan.
Yeah. Great director. Splendor in the Grass.
Yes.
The Waterfront.
Oh, yeah, you're definitely on the waterfront. Yeah. And Streetcar Named Desire.
And he was blacklisted during the whole deal.
Yes, he does have 40s. His controversies.
Yeah. So go ahead.
It's a movie ahead of its time. Mm-hmm. Andy Griffith is playing a dark role.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to give the whole thing away, but when you get to the end, it's like...
very contemporary.
It's very contemporary. It deals with media. It deals with talking to masses and, you know, just and being fooled by a charlatan.
Mm-hmm. We won't say any more, but that's... We can kind of put two and two together when you... But it really... It very feels very contemporary.
Very.
All right. A couple of my picks. The English Patient. Loved the movie. It was Academy Award winner, 1996. The reason that Ann and I went to East Africa to see the wildlife in person, the emphasis or the catalyst for that was when we saw the movie Out of Africa. Meryl Streep, Redford, that was 1985. Another movie we like, They Were Expendable, great war movie from 1945 with John Wayne about the PT boat fleet in the early days of World War II in the Pacific. These were the PT boats that when General MacArthur left the island of Corregidor in the Philippines, they took MacArthur in these little PT boats mm-hmm. down to Australia. It's an amazing movie. They were expendable. I mentioned 1917. I mentioned Continental Divide in the first segment. We mentioned The Bishop's Wife. I really like this movie from 2013 called The Book Thief. Historical fiction novel from 2006, adapted into a 2013 feature film about a young girl who is living with her adopted German family during the Nazi era, and that whole deal with book burning, and mm-hmm. it's just a wonderful movie. Back to your list, Robert Blum.
I have a bunch on here, too. Going through some of my favorite directors, from Jim Jarmusch, Patterson, from mm-hmm. 2016, about a bus driver whose name is Patterson, who lives in Patterson, New Jersey. But it's probably the most zen film I've ever seen. He's a poet. You see him work through some of his lyrics, his rhymes, and just a lovely story. One of the best like couples I've ever seen on in screen.
Patterson from 2016.
1991's The Fisher King from Terry Gilliam.
Mm-hmm.
Starring Jeff Bridges, Robin Williams.
That's a classic movie.
Very
The Fisher
good.
King.
Robin's, again, you know, has some comedic, dark mm-hmm. comedic roles, like moments, but then there's some really brutal, he's showing a lot of emotion. Going again to a director.
What are you going to do? The movie?
I'm going to go with Death Proof.
From 2007.
Seventh by Quentin Tarantino. It was part of the Grindhouse double feature.
Mm-hmm.
Great film. But that's Tarantino. He brings his stuff. He gets great actors. Actors give good scenes.
How about Kung Fu Hustle from 2004? You love this movie.
Yes. Stephen Chow, great director. Should be bigger than he is right now. Kung Fu Hustle is... It's a martial arts film that feels like it's done with Looney Tunes. Mm. There's a lot of comedy in it. There's a lot of visual effects, but amazing. The story is great.
All right, we'll cut back to Robert Blum for his final top 10 pick, but let's go back to mine. Original Sin, 2001 film, Antonio Banderas, Angelina Jolie. I love this movie. It was a recent addition to my list. Check it out, 2001, Original Sin. Then there's The Irishman, kind of the fictitious account of Jimmy Hoffa's disappearance. And is it fictitious? Maybe not. De Niro is wonderful in the movie, but be prepared. You might want to watch it over a couple of nights. It's about 3.5 hours. It's a terrific movie, though. It was pretty controversial. Some people either liked it or hated it, right, Robert Blum?
Oh, yeah. Al Pacino's in it.
Yep.
Joe Pesci's in it. A lot of great actors in this one.
All right, going back, I mentioned a World War II movie. They were expendable. I've got another one on the list. Back in 1941, Mrs. Miniver won the Academy Award, Robert Blum, for kind of World War II on the home front in the United Kingdom. The U.S. answer to that was a film called Since You Went Away, looking at the home front in World War II. Claudette Colbert and the on-screen chemistry between Jennifer Jones and Robert Walker is just amazing. The railway scene where Jennifer Jones is sending, you know, Robert Walker playing an army private off to war is one of the real tear jerkers of the whole Hollywood era in the 1940s. And it's interesting because at that time in real life, Jennifer Jones and Robert Walker were separated. They were husband and wife, but they were separated. But if you see this scene, you will not believe that how could this couple be anything but so deeply in love. Really great movie, Since You Went Away. Back to your list, Robert. You've got one more for us.
I got one left. 2001's, the movie is called Made. It's one of Jon Favreau's early films. Him and his buddy Vince Vaughn trying to get into the whole mafia business. Most of it's ad-lib, but it works well. Peter Falk is in it. Hilarious from beginning to end.
So, getting back to the anniversary of Casa Video, you mentioned that you went to a bar, kind of a beer bar.
Yeah, no, well, there's a lot of local brewers,
right.
And Barrio Brewery.
Barrio Brewery,
yes.
Uh-huh. So, the store has 50,000 titles.
Mm-hmm.
The business is stable, right?
As with any business, we've had good years, we've had bad years.
Mm-hmm.
We are doing pretty good these past few years. Again, it's because of all our local fans, all our members.
Well, I run into lots of people I know over there, so I'm not alone in still renting movies. And, you know, there's something about when you go to Casa Video, it's, you know, it can be so impersonal for like at home live streaming a film. But when you actually go to Casa Video and you talk to other kind of film hobbyists, that's part of the fun.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Casa Video. And again, what do you have planned this summer real quickly?
So we're going to, the whole month of July, we're going to be having 80s films, just celebrating the 80s, celebrating the 40th. We're doing Christmas in July for 3 weeks. We got trivia all the time. Just follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Our events are popping up every day.
All right. Robert Bloom from Casa Video on our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you.
All right.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on what will be the hottest day of the year here in Tucson. We really were pretty good this year about holding off on the really kind of mega temperatures, which we're going to be experiencing this week. Green Things is ready for the summer rainy season. Green Things, located at 3384 East River Road. Actually, this would be a good time to go by Green Things and ask their very knowledgeable staff, okay, what would survive the next couple of weeks and then will thrive when we finally get the rain? So check it out, the 13-acre site right by the Brandy Fenton Park over by the Rialto River. They're also on their 13-acre site. They've got Zocalo Village, which has beautiful items from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. Green Things is open daily, and they're in their 53rd year of business. Our telephone interviews brought to you by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to Supervisor Dr. Matt Hines. Dr. Hines represents the 2nd Supervisorial District. He is a Democrat. He's one of 5 members on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Dr. Hines, how are you?
I'm doing well, trying to stay cool, Bill. I'm glad that you opened with a warning about the real risks of the heat exhaustion. In fact, just walking out of the county buildings doing some work downtown, I briefly offered some medical assistance to a gentleman waiting for a court appearance who seems to be suffering from some pretty severe heat exhaustion and was being taken to an emergency department to be more closely evaluated. So it is very much real, and people need to be aware of the real dangers of not being adequately hydrated or being outside when it's, you know, when these temperatures, you know, when we have kind of our nuclear hellscape situation like we do right now.
Well, I typically take a walk between 7 and 7:30. I'm not going to be doing it. I'm not going to do it tonight. I did it last night, like 10 minutes, and I kind of regretted it. I thought, you know, I'm going to have to take a break here for a week or two, or go over to and walk at the inside, which I'll do sometimes, the track at the Udall Center. But I noticed, and I thought I was well hydrated, but by the time I was through, my T-shirt was soaking wet. And I felt a little headachy. So, yeah.
Dehydration.
Yeah.
You got it. And just water, remember, especially for folks who, whether they're work or whatever, they just have to be outside during some of these hotter times, even not the hottest times. Just having water, especially with these temperatures, that's not enough. That's not safe. Because you can wash out your soda, you can wash out your electrolytes, and you can wash out the salt. So you can't just be pounding water, 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 water. You have to have some balance there. There has to be like, you know, a Gator. I don't care what brand, but like Vitamin was something that has electrolytes in it as well to help replenish all of that sodium and all those salts that you're sweating out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we see people in the hospital who think they're hydrating themselves, and they are with H2O, but that's literally it. And so they'll come in with very, very low, significantly low sodium levels, which we sometimes have to, you know, hold them in the hospital to correct. So it's not just water. But yeah, I'm glad you're talking about this.
But generally, how much water does an adult need, Matt Hines?
Okay.
It goes back to 8 glasses a day, but you know, I've heard that that's not necessarily the standard.
It depends, right? And I sound like a politician, not a doctor here, but like it depends on the individual and depends on their circumstances. So that number is going to be much higher for someone who's going to be working until 10:30 or 11 in the morning on, you know, outside stuff like landscaping or construction or whatever. That number is going to be very different for most other people staying inside. And again, it's going to be different depending on your health. Like, I wouldn't want to make a blanket statement like, yeah, drink X number of liters or 16 or 8 ounce glasses a day always. What if it's a person with significant congestive heart failure? Because if they're staying in an air conditioned place and they just start pounding down, you know, liters of water every hour, we're going to put them into a CHF flare, and they're going to come see me in the ER.
Yeah.
So you see what I'm saying? So it does vary, but the most important thing is to be very, very aware of your body and what you're doing, avoiding that exposure, and having accessible water or electrolyte solutions anytime you're going out. Always, always, always. Have them with you regularly and be sipping on them continuously.
Well, before I move on to county business, I do have one more kind of health question. What do you think of protein drinks? They are everywhere in the supermarket now. What's your take on them?
You know, the best way for the body to get nutrition is from the original source in which it was packaged. I mean that for minerals, electrolytes, protein, everything. So when you have more of a synthetic, you know, fabricated version of it, your body's just not going to absorb like every gram of protein in there. You're going to, frankly, that's a lot that's going to pass through you. That can also be a not very pleasant process if you take a lot of it, right? So, but this, I'm not being anti that. I take them myself sometimes as meal replacements if I'm working in the hospital and don't have time to go to the cafeteria, wait for food, or get something before I go. So I rely on them myself. And you kind of have to see what exactly is in it and how much this is in it, and make sure that you're not. I think it's important, especially for folks who are like trying to be healthier and maybe work out a little bit, do some mild, moderate resistance training. You can't just pound down protein, 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 zero carbs. Like your body, to metabolize and actually take advantage of processing and absorbing that protein, you do need some carbohydrates as well. So I think it's important to understand that, again, just a pure protein shake with basically zero carbs and only, you know, sweetened with some sort of non-caloric sweetener, you are really not going to pull in a lot of the protein, and you're going to have some digestive repercussions as a result. So just make sure what you're taking kind of fits with your lifestyle and whatever needs that you are, whatever your goals are. And also make sure that there's a balance between the protein and the carbs so that you can actually successfully help your body to utilize that protein instead of having it just kind of pass on through, because that's an expensive waste, right?
Yeah, there you go. The Pima County Board of Supervisors, you and your four colleagues, did vote to limit public comments at meetings. So I should clarify, this was a 3-2 vote. Okay. Supervisors Sharon Bronson and Steve Christie opposed this move. I'm curious, I want your take, Dr. Hines, on the new policy, and how did it go? Because I understand it went into effect at the June 20th meeting.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I have to say it was one of the most, and it was a very lengthy agenda. We had, I think, 115 or almost 120 agenda items between the addendum and the main. So we had quite a lot to do. Oh, I know. I believe that's the longest of my short tenure on the board. So it was incredible. And the meeting went to, I believe, almost 2 o'clock. So it was about a 5-hour meeting, but it wasn't because 2 or 2.5 hours were caught up with, you know, some of the you know, calls to the mm-hmm. audience situation. That was 60 minutes. There were some presentations and proclamations and all that kind of stuff happened. And I have to say it was one of the most effective meetings that I've participated in. And it wasn't, you know, the half of the meeting wasn't tied up with a lot of this extremist negative kind of stuff, right? And mm-hmm. so we were able to get to the business of the county, still respecting and not the right, but you know, the privilege of the public to come and present to these board meetings to bring issues to our attention. They had 60 minutes too, so which is double the amount of time that the city of Tucson and many other local governing boards provide, by the way. So we're still quite a bit more than most of the other boards. I thought it went very well. I thought we were able to deliberate a lot of different policies very effectively and conduct county business, in my opinion, much better and more effectively than we have been previously.
So if 20 or more people request to speak, Dr. Hines, each person's time will be shortened from 3 to 2 minutes. So you say that so far, so good with this.
Yeah, and again, we, you know, the number of, with our experience with this equals one and only one meeting, but so far, and it was a very robust agenda. So I think it's a good, you know, if we're able to get through that many items and, you know, still have a substantial amount of time, 60 minutes for call to the public, I think we're doing pretty well. I expect to see that pattern repeated, hopefully going forward when we go to July 11th and beyond.
Well, your colleague, Adelita Grijalva, the board chair, said that she often has people tell her when she's out and about in the community. She says, I'm so embarrassed of what's going on at your board meetings that it's not representative of Pima County.
True. And I hear the same. I think I don't want to speak for any of my colleagues, but I'm pretty confident that Rex Scott, Supervisor Scott, would, and I suspect all of them would share similar stories. Well, maybe not. I don't know if maybe Steve Christie wouldn't, but I certainly get that at the hospital from some of the staff I'm working with and others. And I'm also regularly asked, hey, do we want us to come and support and talk about issues? And I'm like, no. I don't. Please don't. A, we just don't need, you know, come if you want to. Don't, you know, but seriously, don't come on for me. Don't come there on my behalf. If there's something you want to bring to us, please do so. But understand that you're going to have to sit through, you know, and it's a terrible embarrassment to sit there with, you know, the leadership of Sun Corridor listening to this, just some of this awful stuff that comes forward, you know, just really just gross stuff that gets brought forward. And you have all these community leaders waiting to conduct whatever it is that their business is before the board, you know, funding an item or rezoning or something. And they have to, and afterwards, or you know, but they lament how things are so negative and it is embarrassing and definitely isn't consistent with the county.
Yeah, I mean, some of these people probably, they come down to the board meeting and they're probably thinking to themselves, oh my goodness, when can I get, why do I have to be here? I'll take care of my business and get out of here as fast as possible. And you know, it all boils down, Dr. Hines, you know, there's a word for this, professionalism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That and civility, right? We can talk about, even when we don't agree on everything. I don't agree on everything with a lot of my Democratic colleagues, but you don't have to like verbally, punch people in the face or neck with your words and your, you know, like let's work together to solve a policy issue, like solve a program, to initiate a program, address a matter that's not being covered by a certain existing policy, revise that. Let's talk through it. Let's work together. Let's compromise on stuff. But that's not really the point that a lot of these folks bring forward. They lecture us. They yell at us. They shout at us sometimes. And it's just a very hyper-partisan, you know, and I think I've said this on your show before. The Republican county chair, several days before every one of our board meetings, sends out a script. Hey, we're going to all show up and talk about this. Okay, let's talk it. Let's hold up signs that say that we're gonna, that we're gonna defeat Rex Scott. Now that's what they did last time. You know, like they coordinate and they use this as a political rally, and that's not the purpose. Can you imagine if the four Democrats were encouraging the Democratic Party chair of Pima County to use this government meeting where we're supposed to be conducting the business of the people as a political rallying, a rally for Democratic candidates and for Democratic views and beliefs. And that would, you can imagine the response of a lot of people that show up at our meetings. They would be very upset about that, right? But that's exactly what they're doing.
All right, let's take a break right here, and then we will talk about this budget that you and your colleagues passed, $1.7 billion budget. More with Dr. Matt Hines on the Buckmaster Show. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Monday edition. The Pima County Board of Supervisors adopted a $1.7 billion budget. We'll talk with Dr. Matt Hines about that in a moment. But first, I want to tell people about a place to go where I know it will be cooler. We always say in the summer it's 10, even 15 degrees or more cooler in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. Why is it cooler, you might be asking? Well, the elevation's about like Denver, like about a mile high, anywhere from 5,000 to 7,000 feet. So you've got beautiful, cooler nights, and the days are not half bad as well. So when we're up to like 110 and above. It's going to be in the upper 90s or cooler in Silver City. Start your planning by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. What to do, where to stay, and even where to dine. All there. Some great suggestions on the website. Dr. Matt Hines, Democrat representing the 2nd Supervisorial District on the 5-member Board of Supervisors. What do you think of this budget package, Dr. Hines?
Yeah, I was actually only three of us, I think, supporters. So I was one of the three votes to approve it. So I do support it. I think, we still have, it's a little bit larger than things had been prior to 3 years ago, just because there's still some, federal COVID dollars are still around to some degree until I believe 2025 or beginning of 2026. So, I think it's good that I would say, and I've said this in multiple meetings, that we are not doing enough to really aggressively address the 40,000 plus deficit of housing units, especially affordable housing, and that the county combined with the city can take a much larger role. We do dedicate $5 million a year currently for that, but that really needs to be multiplied by about tenfold, at least for the next couple, 3 years, because it's not just street living homeless, which those numbers will be well above 2,000 come 2025, 2026, it's estimated. But it's, there's a lot of people that are housing insecure. So they are one rent payment, 1 month, a few weeks away from potentially losing their home, their shelter. So I think the county can do it better with that. And I like to compare it to roads. Over the past couple of years, we've bonded for roads. We've accelerated a lot of road repairs. And we've talked about the roads assassinating our tires quite a bit on the show. It's something that I, of course, feel very strongly about. But it does bother me that we're, this budget that we just passed, and I said this at the day, it's at 43, I believe, million additional dollars for roads in this 23-24 budget, when we approved $5 million for assistance with affordable housing. And I just, we do have to balance things, and I think we need to do some work to find some additional funds as they become available to help generate some additional projects that can help, especially with affordable housing.
Are we just kicking the can down the road, Supervisor Hines, by not raising property taxes to get more affordable housing in this town?
I believe so. I think that we can, it's not very popular. No one ever likes to hear you raising its taxes ever. I do think that we have to look at multiple ways, multiple sources to generate. That the counties really—that's their main. That's it, right? It's that property tax is kind of the only lever we really have at the county level. Everything else is, I suppose, technically a unanimous vote of the board, which I, at this moment, don't anticipate. We could potentially put into place a county sales tax. We do not have that currently, at least for the general fund revenue, at all. But yeah, it's that would be one of the only ways we have to look at it. And we, the residents of Pima County, pay for those of us in the community that cannot afford housing, that are street living. We pay in so many ways, way, way, way more than any kind of assessment would, over a year, to address this problem on a day-to-day basis. How many folks living in washes end up in my ER or in any of our hospitals, of uncompensated, potentially uncompensated care there, waiting to get in to see your doctor or to get into an urgent care because there are other people that are, in line ahead of you, right? And that's a lot of that can be dealt with if we can help get more people shelter in this community. So it's intangible. You can't always see it right there in front of yourself when you're thinking about these things, but there are so many ways in which, that we are truly, it's not addressing this. It's just not a humane, compassionate way to approach, supporting our community, firstly. And it absolutely comes back to bite us in many, many ways that we can't even always comprehend. So it's a good idea to address it and to really grab the bull by the horns and acknowledge it and get ahead of it.
All right, Dr. Matt Hines. Thank you, Dr. Hines, for joining us today. And again, the word of the day is hydrate. It really can creep up on you, and you don't want to wind up in Dr. Hines's emergency room. I mean, not that he won't give you the care that he has been trained to give you, but he just doesn't want to see you on this particular issue.
No, and electrolytes. Hydrate and electrolytes.
There you go. Thanks a lot, Matt.
All righty. Good thing, Bill.
All right. That'll do it for the Buckmaster Show. Gonna be a scorcher. Try to stay cool. Watch a movie in an air-conditioned room. Have a good day, everybody.